As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We've got a great show here tonight. There's some breaking news that I wanted to cover a little bit before we get going on the show. We've got our the Phoenix Lights testimony by the former Arizona governor, Fife Symington, is amazing because he's decided to come clean and admit that there were massive UFOs flying over, you know, during the Phoenix Lights incident. So that's great. You know, it's the cover-up there is over, but the greatest cover-up is the French situation. We've got the French government is releasing a compendium of UFO sightings and reports over the last 50 years. There's 1,600 in total. This is just amazing. They're going to bring out all of the information about UFOs and, you know, a lot of the cover-up and all the other things that have been going on, you know, with our government as well, because they're all tied together. So basically now we have the French government unloading and letting go of all this new information and opening up their files to the public, which is really what governments should be doing. They should be transparent and, you know, they're there to serve the people. And we've got actually Russia doing it now. Germany has been letting go of a lot of things. We've got a lot of China is letting go of a lot of their files as well. So we've got so many people now that are putting pressure and just, you know, spilling the beans on this. We had the Canadian Defense Minister, former Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer, who I met in Hawaii, and he has blown the lid off of it. We've got all kinds of British nobility, we've got admirals, we've got Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford and astronauts Gordon Cooper and Edgar Mitchell. All these people are coming forward, you know, and they're asking us to, you know, blow the lid off this and start being, you know, upfront and honest with the people. You know, there's literally millions of sightings globally, and not only that, there's been, you know, crashes and back engineering and a lot of other things going on, so you know, it's overwhelming now. The information's coming out. So basically, the cover-up is in its death throes. It's over. I think a Time CNN poll said, oh, something like 89 to 90% of the people believe that there is a government cover-up and you know, that they are hiding the evidence. So I think we're probably up in the 90s now, high 90s. But anyway, that cover-up's pretty much over. You know, it's they might as well just, you know, throw the dirt on it, drop the coffin, and toss a rose in, and it's over. There are some other things going on, too. I want to talk a little bit about the chemtrails, too. I have just massive emails from people that are getting very sick and very ill from the heavy chemtrail spraying. And if you want to look into that, I would go to your Internet and search, type in chemtrails, and start reading the evidence. And, you know, look at William Thomas's site and Clifford Carnicom's site, and also click in Idaho Observer Chemtrails and read the evidence about what they found in Idaho to be falling from their skies. And, you know, and that ties into the honeybees disappearing as well. So it's all tied together, and it's something that we all have to do our homework on and start looking into and really get behind, you know, start writing everybody you can think of to get involved in this and start getting to the bottom of this and putting an end to it, because, you know, it's actually become personal for me as well, because my sinuses are running like crazy right now because we've been getting bombed thick and heavy here and up in the Pacific Northwest. So those are three major events. You know, there's some great news coming out. A lot of the cover-up's over, and now we need to focus on a few other things. But I really do believe tyranny's in its death throes, and it's on its way out, and we need to help push it over the edge a little bit. So enough said there. I'd like to bring my guest on, Sue, with Quantum Healing. Sue, are you with us?
I am. Good evening, James, and everybody out there.
You know, great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. I'm so excited about everything that's coming out.
Yeah, you have a few things going on. You've got your Quantum Healing website.
Right.
And now that's quantumhealing. Is it U.S.? Or?
Yeah, quantumhealing.us. And there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of information on there, and there's a free download, which is 25 tips for stress reduction and how to nurture yourself. So anybody can go there, and it's on the home page. And I've been on the Dr. Pat show, Dr. Pat Pacilli, a number of times. And so it'll say Dr. Pat's listeners, but it's for anybody, and they can get a free download on that. And that really helps us cope with everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, our friend Juliet was saying that you're going to be the new Dr. Ruth. I thought that was quite interesting.
Like Juliet said, she says, I'm going to be the new Dr. Ruth of cyber sex, internet porn, and sex addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, we're going to be doing a show just to let the listeners know if they're interested in that subject. I'm going to be on BBS at 6 o'clock this coming Wednesday night, which is March 28th, on the Dr. Pat Show. And we will be talking about cyber sex, internet porn, and sex addiction, and healthy sexuality. And then also on Voice America, Tuesday, April 3rd, 7 to 8 a.m., we'll be talking about that. But we're also going to put an emphasis on women, since that is downplayed a lot in our culture. And so people can go there, and we'd love to have them join us. Or they can go to the archives and listen to those shows at the drpatshow.com if they want to listen to them at another time. At no charge.
I didn't know. I should have been a little more up on that, that she was on BBS as well.
Yeah, right. She's on, yeah, BBS 6 to 7 on Wednesday night. So you're,
oh, okay, great.
You're both there.
Yeah. I tell you, I haven't even had a time lately to even think. It's amazing with this getting this center together here and putting in all the new bathrooms and doing all the remodeling and getting the gardens in and everything else up here. It's like I've been kind of derelict in my social life, you might say, or finding out about all these other things going on.
Well, you know, James, that's, I think, a challenge for all of us that are really focused on our work, you know, is that you're focused on your work there at the ranch, and I'm focused in my healing work with people in my office. I mean, I have a practice where I see people for hours during the week, plus I'm getting ready for all these radio shows, and so I totally hear you that, you know, we're so focused on what we're doing, it doesn't give us a lot of time to expand our awareness into other things that maybe we'd like to. But, you know, what a blessing that both of us have our work and we're able to serve the planet, both as we do in our own ways. And really want to encourage and talk tonight a little bit about people, you know, clearing away things that are blocking them from stepping into their life purpose and them doing what they came to this planet to do. So, you know, you're a wonderful role model for that in my eyes. And, you know, this, you know, would like to encourage others to clear away what needs to be cleared away, because, boy, we just need everybody on board here as things are moving, don't we?
You know, I had an experience that, you know, I thought it was kind of cold, but in a way I don't feel it was, but I was with somebody, and she was kept hanging out in just social consciousness and doing all this other stuff and trying to pull me into that arena, and it's an arena I just can't function in or don't even want to anymore. And, you know, I said it seemed to be kind of cruel in a way. It, you know, I wasn't really in a relationship with her or anything, but I just said, you know, I cannot connect with people that aren't aligned with their soul purpose, that they don't know, you know, have a good idea of who they are and why they're here, and if they're, and they need to be aligned with the awakening healing process some way in their own unique way.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, if they aren't right now, they're just going nuts, and they take you on the nut train with them.
That's true, and that's why it's just so important for, you know, if people, just to clear stuff out. I mean, because you're right, people are just going crazy. I see it in my practice, and I hear other colleagues that are doing healing work, and just everything's being shown up to the light now, you know, because the vibrational frequency of the earth is up, the magnetics are down, and as that happens, You know, it really brings those dense energies up. You know, people look at our world and say, oh my gosh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. But, you know, I think both you and I believe that's not true. We see the bigger picture. We know the bigger reality. And all this stuff is coming up to be shown. And people are making choices.
Oh, yeah. It's undeniable now. You can't, no matter where you go, there you are. You know, that old thing.
Exactly.
People are trying to run away from their process and from their experience. And they, you know, they'll run out of one relationship into another, into another, into another. And after about 10 relationships, they finally go, well, you know, maybe I might have something to look at here.
Exactly. And I think people are either making choices to do their clearing work or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to awaken more or not. And it's always a choice, you know, because we're a planet of free will. And so
mm-hmm.
it's always up, you know, to us to make those choices. And like you say, as you wish.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen, you know, I've heard all these different definitions of hell, you know, and one of them is separation, you know, the belief in separation. And to me, the other one is indecision or confusion. And put those two things together, believing you're separate and being in that confusion and indecision process, to me, that's, you know, hell for me anyway.
Exactly. And I think it is for other people, too. And I have so many people coming, you know, in my practice that are, you know, on a spiritual path and really wanting to open. And they go, well, I just don't know what my work is. And I just say to them, well, let's just start doing the work. Let's do the clearing work. Let's open up to vision. And it's just amazing to watch that when you're willing to do that, your higher self and the universe, it wants to do that. It wants to be there with you. But you've got to do also be open and do the necessary steps to say, hey, universe, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to walk into it, and I'm ready to do the work that needs to be done. I have a lot of people that come, and they just want it to have it done to them, have it done for them. And it doesn't work that way. The soul has to learn the lessons that it came here to learn. And once it does, then that stuff can go poof, you know?
Yeah, you mean there's no golden arches for drive-through enlightenment?
I think we all want that, but that's not reality, is it?
No. I've had people with that to me, too. They go, hey, there's several things they do. They come up here and they go, you know, I want to ride on the ship. And I just said, good luck.
Exactly.
Know? And
like Disneyland.
You have to rise to the occasion, you know. And one guy brought his checkbook out, you know, and he said, you know, what would it cost for me to get a ride on the ship? And I just told him, your checkbook isn't big enough, you know, so.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and I said, it has nothing to do with money or, you know, it's out of my hands. I can't, dial a number and have the UFO bus come and pick you up. It just doesn't, you know, everybody has to take responsibility for their own consciousness and need to rise to the occasion to have that experience. So
exactly.
You know, we can help them do that, and that's a process. But, you know,
right.
They'll come here and they'll see the ships and they'll experience the energy and things like that. But as far as face-to-face and actually being on a ship and things of that nature, that's something that they've really got to get into their spiritual practices and learn out of body and things of that nature.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of communing to be said in meditation as well. My experience has been is that, you know, I made a lot of connections in meditation, and, you know, I haven't, other than being up at the ranch with you and seeing the ships going in and out of the mountain and seeing them dart to and fro and also actually experiencing and seeing the orbs as well, you know, and I've had one other experience, my own, with the Native Americans in the desert, where I was communicating with ships, but it was more through meditation and having some work to do. But other than those, I mean, there's just wonderful connections that we can have in meditation in connecting with the ships and connecting with our higher selves and our guides and angels. And, you know, and some people say, well, those aren't real. And, you know, Einstein said, the imagination is real. He said that. And if Albert Einstein... Pardon?
He actually said it's more important. He said imagination is more important than fact or something.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, it's like it is real. And so it's just like when people sometimes, you know, I do not bill myself as a past life regressionist, but the energies that are in my office and that I carry and that people come with, oftentimes when people are working with me, they will go into spontaneous past life regressions. And, you know, what they'll say is, well, I don't believe in them. And I say, well, you know, why don't you just suspend your belief system and just experience this? And whether it's real or not, you know, it's a very healing thing for you. And isn't the healing really what matters?
Yeah,
and
I believe
if people
that.
Shift, you know, they shift.
You know, I've seen over and over that I know a person, I won't mention their name or anything, but
right.
I know a lot of people that are going through some incredible therapies, physical therapies, and, you know, oxygen, water, and doing all these incredible things. But the problem is they're not cleaning up their emotional baggage, and they're trying to lose weight, and there's no weight going off, and it should be going off according, you know, the things do work.
Right.
But nothing's working for these people. And, you know, and I tell them, I said, you know, maybe your issue isn't in the physical. Maybe it's in your fields, you know, around your mental and emotional body or your astral body or
exactly.
Other bodies. And you know, they won't even talk about it. They, you know, you start to mention that and they get all tightened up and upset. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, I go, well, take a look in the mirror. You know?
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know,
and so
but,
you know, yeah, I go, you're the one that telling me you have this problem and you want to solve this problem and you're going about it, you know, that, what's that form they say of insanity is doing the same thing over and over expecting a different result. You know?
Exactly.
You know, until we do go into the field that you're working on, you know, and cleaning up all these addictions and wrong conclusions from past experiences and wounds and traumas, the physical is not going to really follow suit. It's just putting a Band-Aid on something bigger.
Right. You know, James, when I did a three-year trip around the world from 1993 to 1996, and it was just an incredible journey. I mean, and so I've got, you know, just so many stories and phenomenal experiences. But one thing I saw across the board, a lot of time I was spending in different ashrams and monasteries and in retreat centers, and it was, you know, I did a lot of spiritual exploring of the physical world and a lot of other worlds, but going to different countries, working with different teachers, et cetera. And, you know, I would see this over and over again, particularly with Westerners, you know, Europeans, Australians, New Zealanders, us USers, you know, us Western type folks. What we would do, a lot of people would go into these places and they do tons of meditating and tons of chanting and prayer and spiritual practice, yoga, all that, which is really, really great stuff. But they had all these really glaring emotional issues with themselves, with their past, with others, and they wouldn't work with them. They would just say, well, you know, I'm doing my spiritual work, and the spiritual work is going to take care of it. And I saw some people, and it was really sad, that were hardly functioning at all. And they could kind of get away with it because they were at ashrams or retreat centers or whatever, but, you know, it just was like, this is not holistic.
No. I've seen that, too. I've seen a lot of spiritual ego, too, where people have done, you know, all these things, and they wear them as badges, you know.
Right.
But they haven't done their work. They haven't done, like you're saying, their inner work. They haven't really cleaned out the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions. And although they can tell you about everything, they just don't have it. You know, they don't have that centeredness, you might say.
Right. Or they're not functioning, you know, and it just shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not. They get really ungrounded. And, you know, I had one person come here, and I just told him to eat a steak. You know, they were so out there, they were completely dysfunctional. And I just said, you know, I think it'd be a good idea if you just ate a steak right now and get your feet on the ground and start doing some physical work and really
right.
help them out.
Isn't that amazing? It's that old chop wood, carry water phenomenon, isn't it?
Yeah. I've always felt the enlightenment process is backwards, the way we think we're trying to go somewhere else, but it's bringing that consciousness here, being heaven to earth, and then living it and bringing it into every cell of your body, and then your body starts moving up in its frequency, and it starts, you know, moving faster and faster, and then it ascends. But so many people are trying to leave, and, you know, they haven't mastered judgment. They've got a lot of issues. They haven't cleared out their, you know, their closet, so they're not really going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we've always looked to the outside to come down, and I mean for us to go up instead for the energies and the consciousness to come down, and that's why I love that Star of David, or, you know, the star that you often see on a lot of, you know, it's like as above, so below, as within, so without, and I just think that really, you know, summarizes what you're talking about, is that image and how those two triangles come together, you know, the two points, one coming down and one going up, and you've got the star, you know, which is us in human form here, you know. So, I totally agree.
The human, you know, if you can't see God in the human part, you know, then I think we're missing the track, you know, because it's part of omnipresence.
Exactly. And what we're here to do, you know, I mean, that's what the great masters did, you know, whether it was Buddha or Christ or some of the Hindu folks or, you know, any of that. It was walking that here on the earth.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people come here to the ranch and you know, they'll be looking for me and I'll be in a ditch, you know, digging a ditch, you know, putting in a water line or something, and they're all looking for me, you know, trying to ask them. They're even asking me questions, you know, and I said, oh, that nutcase is around here somewhere, you know. I just
exactly. Totally.
And I go, what do you want to see that guy for, you know? And
right.
It's kind of hilarious because I guess they think I should be walking around with robes or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what's, you know, that's something I love about being at the ranch. And it's just so grounded. The energies there are so high, and but they're so grounded, and they're so nurturing. I mean, you know, I just love to come and just relax and be there because it's just the energies are so nice. And for those of you,
having you here.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm really looking forward to the conference.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think that's
going to be. Yeah, we're still behind on that one, putting it together, but we'll get it together.
Well, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, right now I have to be the cement, you know, the ditch digger, the cement contractor, the plumber, and the electrician, and the framer as well, so.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I have a little bit of help here, but nobody really, you know, has the expertise
right
to do it.
Right.
So it's coming together.
That's great. That's good. It's just going to really be a great gathering, I'm sure.
I'm looking at all the different therapies you have here. How do you decide which one to use on the person? Is it just like intuition or?
Well, it's interesting. When people come in, you know, we do some talking in the beginning, and, you know, I always want to know what their goals are and where they want to go, because I think that's really, really important, because that also tells me about the receptivity and et cetera. And then as we begin to look at that, we also begin to look at any resistances or blocks or obstructions. And I know some people look at that as being negative, but I look at it as just part of the process. You know, as humans, we tend to do that out of survival and protection. And so we address those, and we also welcome those, and we work with those. Because we have to work with everything, and we have to honor everything. And it's amazing how when you do honor that, they let go, you know, those parts of oneself let go of the resistance, because it does feel known and honored and respected. So that's kind of interesting how that works over time, working with the ego, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And we all have it. It's all our personality, right?
Oh, and no, I'm perfect. I don't
know. Well, let's just say our egos are transforming, right? There are different levels of... Right.
I love that when people go, I don't have any issues, I'm fine, you know, like I'm in, you know, I'm in touch with my own God self, and I don't have any issues. That's a
I don't have an ego, right?
You got to get hammered by the universe.
Exactly, that's what you do, and you're opening yourself up to that, that's for sure. And so I do that, and then, you know, I do receive a lot of information. I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, so I do receive information from people, primarily. I receive my own information, but I'm actually tapped in often to their guidance and their higher self. And so I will get information, and sometimes I have no idea what it means. And if I hear it three times, then I share it with the person. And every time I've ever shared it, when I've heard it three times, it means something to them. It may not mean anything to me, but it does to them, and it's usually pretty profound information for them. And So I receive information from them, also my own guidance. If people come really seeking for me to tell them what to do or their life's path, I get blocked. The guides and the universe doesn't allow that, you know. It wants people to take responsibility for their process in working with me and others. But, you know, some of the therapies, a lot of people come to me that want to do spiritual work, want to do non-talk therapy. I mean, I certainly do a lot of that, and it's certainly a great thing. But I've learned in my own healing process and over time, it's really wonderful to have a bunch of different experiential types of therapy so that you can get at things from a whole lot of different angles. And so breath work is just an incredible vehicle to clear things out. You know, I have a pranic breath work and meditation workshop coming up April 21st. And that pranic, you know, the pranayama is a wonderful way to clear out all the chakras and the energy meridians and to re-energize your entire body and brain and all the cells and organs of your body, and at the same time calm the brain and become more focused and aware and allow for more creativity. And for some people, their psychic and their spiritual abilities also open up, but it's a wonderful way to take care of all of your bodies, all of them, and at the same time calm yourself for other spiritual practices or just living your daily life with all the stimulation and the stress that we have. So breathwork is very powerful. And also EMDR, which is the eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. You know, we've been hearing a lot about The Secret. That's really gone big time. And you know, Rhonda Byrne, who did The Secret, has been on Oprah a couple times, and Larry King, and I know a lot of my clients have watched it, and it's a really good, you know, DVD and a good book. The only, you know, bone I have to pick with it is that I don't think it does spend enough time talking about doing the clearing work and how important that is.
I agreed. It was more, it seemed like an infomercial for materiality.
I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and I go, boy, you know, it's like you can have it all, you know. But I thought about it, and I said, well, I guess it's a start, you know, it's a step
it
in
is.
The right direction. But
right.
Why not just be happy for no reason? You know, why do you have to have all the things to be happy?
Right.
And, they kind of touched, I think John Gray touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
But you know, I watched it just one time, but, you know, I kind of, It did, to me, it had, you know, I guess it depends on where you're at, but
yeah.
I think for the mainstream, it was probably, you know, very beneficial.
Yeah, a good place to start, so to speak, like you said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one thing that I thought was hard about it, and, you know, you can't do everything in it, so, I get that. But I think one of the hard things was that people that have really negative self-talk, you know, or they have a low self-esteem, or they have a lot of guilt or shame, or they've been really abused and had to, you know, learn how to survive. You know, they really have a lot of negativity and a lot of negative energies that they're fighting. And so for them to start turning things around, besides clearing the energies out, you know, in different ways, they have to, you know, it really takes a lot of focus and concentration and consistency to change those negative thoughts and those negative energies into something that's positive on a consistent basis. And with a lot of my clients that come that have really heavy energies, that's really a lot of work, and we do a lot of work on that. And I'm almost like I have to be a tape recorder for them, because it's really like taking out the old program and putting in a new program in a computer. And for some people, that's the level of work that they're at to change that, because they're so caught up in those grooves in their brain that's into negativity and negative energies. So the one thing, you know, that I don't think they emphasized, which I think is would be something good to say, is that it takes a lot of consistency. But after people are doing that in a consistent way, and some of the literature says 21 to 40 days, other literature says 90 days, but it's like the new grooves in the brain are happening. There really are new neural pathways that are being created. And then pretty soon that becomes easier. But I think what the secret is that I think people feel like they're failing or something's wrong with them if they just can't, like, manifest right in the moment like other people. So I guess I just want to say that so that people don't feel like if they're not manifesting in the moment and they're not creating that wonderful world that they want, you know, in 7 days or less, that for a lot of people, you know, there has to be more consistency and repetition.
Well, I agree. I did a ceremony once. I was taught by a yogi, actually, and they did this manifesting ceremony. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty powerful. And what we did was we had to ask for three things and get real focused on what we wanted. And they said, okay, we're not going to do world peace. We're not going to do it has to affect you personally. What do you want in the moment? And it was about 20 years ago or so. And so at the time, I said, you know, I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to think personally here. What do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it, and I said, I want a beautiful woman come into my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want a motorcycle, and I want to sell my house. And those are the three things. I want my house to sell immediately. And so it was amazing. Within 3 days, everything manifested. And a beautiful woman came into my life. She wasn't spiritual. We were totally not connected on any way, and it was just a nightmare. You know, I was given three motorcycles. None of them worked. You know, they were missing all kinds of parts and everything, and which was kind of funny. But my house, I was very clear on my house, and it sold within 3 days. The guy wanted to move in right away.
Wow.
Quick close, and for the exact amount, everything. I was very specific on that.
Right.
Very clear. And so everything did manifest, but the process was a great teacher because it showed me that, you know, hey, you're a little shallow in the relationship section. You need to put a little more energy into that about as far
mm-hmm.
as having somebody spiritually,
mm-hmm.
You know, adaptable or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know,
somebody right,
that's
right.
on the same page, you know.
Exactly.
And even with the material side or the motorcycle part, I wasn't. You know, I guess I didn't put enough juice into that one either because I was hoping for a nice brand new Harley. but that didn't manifest. But, you know, it was amazing because it did teach me that you can manifest these things. And
right.
If you put your energy and your mind to it.
And the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you said clarity. That's probably a key with that, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was nice about this process is that you would write them down and then you had to speak them out loud in front of everybody. Which
mm-hmm.
made you actually look at how you felt about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had issues around them or blocks or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they'd burn sage, and with each one, and they'd wave the sage over you, you know, like
mm-hmm.
in the process. It was mm-hmm. a pretty neat process.
That sounds great, yeah.
But I couldn't deny it did work, you know, it did manifest.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, and, you know, a lot of the literature says that, you know, if you say it out loud, you're saying it, you're hearing it, and you're also telling the universe,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that gives it more energy, puts the energy out there, too, builds the energy more.
Oh, yeah, and if you do it in front of a group, and
yeah.
if you hesitate or you don't really want to say it, it shows you've got some guilt around it or some unworthiness or something, you know.
Right.
Around that issue, because if you can't just blurt it out, I mean, this one guy in the group, I'll never forget it. He said, he was talking about a woman. He goes, I want a woman to come into my life. He goes, I want her to be the most spiritual, loving nymphomaniac. he just was blurting it out there. And I just went, I go, you know, I got a hand to this guy. He's
putting himself out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not holding back. And
right.
he's got no fears, and he's just blurting it out there. So, you know, rather than being judgment, you know, I just said, you know, I was in awe that he was very clear with what he wanted. You know, I don't know what he got out of it. But,
that's funny.
Probably a heart attack.
Well, you know, and it's so interesting, you know, we're all, you know, have such varied backgrounds and, you know, on interesting paths. And I had a client who was really, really depressed. I was really worried about her. She's very suicidal and, you know, having a really rough time. And besides working with me, she'd gone to the psychic. And, you know, and if clients go to psychics, that's totally up to them, whatever, you know. And we just integrate it into whatever we're doing. And she said this psychic had said that and I don't exactly remember what it was, but it had something to do with astrology, that one of her planets was lined up a certain way with Saturn, and that in the spring it was going to shift, and it was going to bring in new energies, and it was going to be really positive, right? And so she didn't really believe in astrology that much herself, but she thought, well, that's interesting. So, I mean, it really was rough. Well, it was so amazing because I don't care if it was suggestion or if it really was the energies, which I totally believe in, how we align with our planets and what's going on, like Mercury in retrograde and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, the spring came, and she was like a different person. She looked different. She felt different. The depression was absolutely gone. And I thought to myself, you know, it's like there's so many things that shift people, but wasn't that interesting? So, you know, there's a lot we don't know, and there's just so much, you know, that's mystery, and that I think we just need to be open, you know, to think about the possibilities, because that was just really an incredible miracle for me to observe and be part of.
Yeah, I was given a bracelet by a yogi, and he came to one of my talks, and I showed him all the different ships and the contact and what was going on, and then I told him in reverse speech, they were asking me who was on these big golden ships that we had coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know who's on those ships, but they feel like God beings, very powerful beings.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reverse speeched it, and I said, Sailor Vishnu was his name,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting. And, you know, it ties into all the old Vedic scriptures and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting about that, he was just, they were so excited. You know, these two yogis, Yogi Shanti is his name, and
mm-hmm.
he went into meditation. He says, I want you to come to this place at, you know, tomorrow morning. And so I did. And he did some work on me and helped me with my back a little bit. I was having
mm-hmm.
some back problems. And
mm-hmm.
And then he said that I need to give you this information. He said that those of us, you know, have been meditating most of our lives, and we know how to talk to God, and God has a message for you. And he told me everything, the work I was doing. And it was very incredible. But then he took this bracelet, and he was holding on to it the whole time and charging it, and he was, like, praying. And then he hands me, and he said, this is Rama. You know, this is, he goes, this bracelet is charged with Rama. You need Rama for your protection, you know.
Mm.
And so I put it on, and I've never taken it off. And there's a part of me that goes, okay, metal does hold consciousness. You know, it does hold energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably charging my field with protection.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? It might be connecting me into that aspect of God, or you might say. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, what the heck? And I lost it for a while, but I didn't want to make a dependency about it. I thought it
right.
ended up in cement or something in the project.
Right.
And then it mysteriously appeared again in my bed. I have no idea how it got there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it wasn't there. I mean, it was just laying in the middle in my bed, you know, and I've already changed the sheets and everything on it four or five
uh-huh.
times. No way.
Uh-huh.
And,
well, maybe you just had to go away and get some recharged and came back again.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. You know, but I mean, I'm not really, I'm not superstitious or anything else, but there's this little part of me that goes, you know, I want to keep this bracelet on just for, you know, to be on the safe side, you might say.
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, it's not going to hurt. I mean, that's great. You know, you got...